Welcome back to Glitchcast, episode number 68. This week we are coming to you with some Game of Thrones episode 2 talk, some Avengers predictions, and I saw Curse of La Llorona.
Oof. That's how you say it, La Llorona, huh?
Yeah.
First two L's are silent. Mm-hmm. I have a guess on how this went for you, but let's save it.
Yeah, we'll save it. we'll do a quick what you watching and some very brief news and trailers. So let's start out with news. MoviePass, I would say probably like one of the harbingers of the start of the podcast, because it gave us cheaper way to see movies.
It really helped us kind of get this thing off the ground, because seeing movies is expensive, or was expensive.
Yeah, but they hit some bumps along the way, and they lost over 90% of their subscribers in less than a year, so they went from 3 million to 225,000.
Wow.
I'm actually surprised that many people still have it, considering that it was almost impossible to use towards sort of the end of us using it there.
It was brutal. There was blackout times. There was certain movies, certain days. They would sell out of tickets, quote unquote, within the first 10 minutes of the day. It was all trash, man. All trash. I'm embarrassed to say I threw $50 at the stock when I thought it could not get any lower. I mean, people bought this stock for 20, 50, 100, 150 bucks a share. Mm. I bought it when it was at 5 cents. And guess what it's at now? I just checked. 0.0039 cents.
Nice. Good return.
Good return. Yeah. Down the drain. Might as well threw it all on red at blackjack. But here we are. I mean, not blackjack. Roulette.
We have AMC A-list now, so that's
and it's
good.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. Godzilla vs. Kong, which is the next movie after Godzilla King of the Monsters, comes out at the end of May in the Monsterverse, has wrapped shooting. It is going to be released on March 13th, 2020. So basically a nice year buffer there in between whatever happens in this upcoming Godzilla movie, and then we get to see, you know, who is victorious between those two.
Yeah, less than a year. And you and I have talked, how are they going to escalate? Like, how is King Kong going to get big enough? Are there going to be a bunch of Mutos, M-U-T-Os? In this movie, I think there's going to be like 40 plus. So it's just all out war here. I don't know what they're going to do next movie, but I'm certainly stoked.
Yeah, I don't know what we settled on, but we said it certainly doesn't seem like they can really go bigger than what at least the previews have shown of King of the Monsters.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean,
maybe they'll take the fight to Skull Island instead. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know how they outdo the trailers that I've seen. Like,
yeah, exactly.
The new one that just dropped is incredible. I just can't wait.
Exactly. Final movie news story. The Minecraft movie is still happening, I guess. Mac, Rob McElhenney from It's Always Sunny, was originally slated to direct it. He fell out. Good for him. But anyways, it's still going to come out. It's slated for release in 2022 now. So, you know, do you think they missed the window a little bit?
Well, I love the headline of this news story. Minecraft movie is hoping Minecraft is still cool in 2022. Is Minecraft cool?
I don't think so. I don't know. Like, I feel like maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, there was a little window where I played some Minecraft. It was kind of fun, but I feel like the people who liked Minecraft have moved on to that trash Fortnite. So who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I also don't like know what the movie would even like look like or be like. You know?
Yeah, stupid animated movie like Lego Movie. They don't. It just needs to be cutesy and it'll sell tickets.
I guess. That's it for movie news. TV news. Game of Thrones star Jerome Flynn, who plays Bronn, has joined Amazon's The Dark Tower series that they're creating. How do you feel about that as a...
Did they say who he's casted as? I don't think they do, but he's got the face to fit in that gritty universe. I keep forgetting this is on Amazon and not like shitty CBS, and I need to start getting hype for this, even though I got super hyped for the movie and it was utter trash. I read this guy, he did like some Q&A, and he's like, yeah, people are actually wanting to put me in stuff after Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it doesn't say who he'll be, because someone has already been cast as Roland and another already cast as the Man in Black.
Do you think Sansa's career is over after Game of Thrones, speaking of people getting different roles?
Sansa? No.
What? She's not good, dude.
I don't think so either, but she's in the X-Men movies, which granted they'll be done after this next one, which looks rightfully bad. But I think she'll have okay success.
Okay. All right. I think Arya, I'm excited to see her in other stuff and the rest of the cast as well. Jon Snow to actually be in some decent movies instead of Pompeii, which bombed.
Whenever I hear that, I just think of that Pompeii song.
What song?
The hey-o, hey-o,
oh,
hey-o,
God, I hate hey-o. That song. Wait, isn't Pompeii the band?
No, Bastille is the band.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm very interested in what the Thrones actors' careers are going to be like. Because, like, Emilia Clarke has been doing pretty well for herself, obviously. But she's kind of, like, really
after
the only one.
Crashing and burning in the Terminator reboot.
Yes, good point. Better Call Saul is going to end with season 6, says Giancarlo Esposito. I haven't watched this. I don't even know what season is on. Is season 6 the next season?
I believe season 5 wrapped up, so the next season will be the last season. Giancarlo Esposito, I saw him in the Mandalorian trailer leak, so at least he's finding work, but that's fine. I mean, it's time. You got the movie coming around the corner, and you can only stretch out becoming Saul for so long.
For sure. I can't. Is he Saul Goodman yet, or is he still Jimmy McGill?
Skip ahead about 10 seconds if you care. But at the end of season 5, he literally said, "Saul good, man." And he started to like kind of get real shady. He's been tired of trying to do things right, and now he's kind of becoming shady. They really did stretch it out, and it's an interesting story. It was a really good show.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's a lot of seasons. also, I'm shocked that it's gonna be 6 seasons already. That's insane.
It's still a very good show that you should watch.
The Witcher Netflix show starring Henry Cavill is going to hit Netflix this fall. So we saw the one teaser, which was just like him, Henry Cavill, just laughing, standing in front of the camera with like a weird white silvery wig on that looked just horrible. Just horrible.
So I'm growing my hair out, and it's at the point now where I'm like, huh, it doesn't look as cool as I thought. And that's kind of like how I think Henry Cavill, like everybody envisioned like him with a cool white old like hair that looks badass, and him with a giant axe in the snow is going to look awesome. And I'm just like, that looks bad. It looks how it looks like if I would decided to grow my hair out, which I did.
Like we talked about it on the podcast, but like it was like one of the funniest things I think I've ever seen in my life.
Hopefully they improve it.
Pablo Schreiber is going to play Master Chief in Showtime's Halo live action series. First off, I didn't even like realize that this Halo live action series was a thing, because I feel like I've been hearing about it for like 20 years, like basically since I was born. I feel like I've been hearing about it, and it just like never happens, and so it's kind of weird that it's coming to fruition. And, like, it's on Showtime.
Yeah. I believe the District 9 guy was going to do it, Neil Blomkamp, and then Steven Spielberg, I think, touched it for a while. That fell through. There was a little series on, I think, some, like, Microsoft streaming service they tried to start with the release of the last game, but it was trash. I think this is the first time they're actually throwing a bunch of money on it. And I do like this Pablo Schreiber guy.
Isn't Master Chief always, like, suited
up?
Yeah,
Master Chief.
Does he always have the thing on him?
That's kind of what makes him cool, is he's a faceless badass and only talks pretty rarely, and it's usually, like, really cool things that he says. So, I don't know about this. I figured for a couple seasons they'd have his helmet on, then eventually they'd cast somebody badass to unhelmet him, but I like this guy, so who knows? I mean, it won't be good. It's not going to be good.
Yeah, probably not. I bet it doesn't even actually happen.
You think it's not going to air?
Nah. Just like every other iteration. Final news story of the week. Mike Myers is going to star in a Netflix comedy series. So he's going to produce it. There's no really like synopsis or like if it's a variety show or what the hell it is. But it's said that he's going to play multiple characters, which is sort of his thing, I guess, especially after Austin Powers. This is like the first thing that he's really like set to like actually star in God, since The Love Guru, I guess. I don't know.
He's popped up randomly in little things, but yeah, he's been in the shadows after The Love Guru. That was bad.
Yeah, bad to look up back on now, too, in sort of like a much more politically correct
world. I mean, I didn't see it, obviously, but the trailer alone was like cringy as hell.
You have never seen The Love Guru?
Why in the world would I watch The Love Guru? You've seen it?
All right. All right, whoever, of course I have, whoever gets the closest Rotten Tomato and box office guess for Avengers, you have to watch Love Guru. You can pick whatever movie for me.
Okay. Are we guessing now?
No, we'll get to it later.
Okay.
That's it for news
this
week.
Hold on. Quick question to Mike Myers. Do you want Austin Powers to come back? Because I think I heard a rumor that it might. What are your thoughts on that?
I've heard that too. You know, I don't know. I'm one of the biggest Austin Powers fans in the world, I would like to say.
I constantly still say, I'll stay, and like do the entire blackjack scene.
I feel like it's just too late now. I don't think that they can recapture.
Do you want Shrek to come back? I know you do. You almost
Shrek
took him to the championship 18. In the friggin' basketball bracket.
Okay, but Shrek's a monster. Shrek just turned 18, fun fact.
Wow.
Make you feel old. Trailers. Gemini Man. This is from Ang Lee, who directed Life of Pi and Brokeback Mountain.
And first Hulk movie?
Ah, yes. Yeah. Yes.
With Banna?
Incredible Hulk. Not the Incredible Hulk, I believe. Stars Will Smith, Clive Owen, and Mary Elizabeth Winstead. This is basically Will Smith plays himself twice. He plays it's like Looper, essentially.
Yes,
in a way.
I was gonna say it stars Will Smith and Will Smith. I could tell right out of the bat. I think they like made him look young in the first opening moments of the trailer, and I was like, clearly the guy chasing him or whoever he's chasing is himself.
Yeah,
doesn't really look like his return to form after the dud that was Bright, Suicide Squad. I don't know. It seemed kind of corny, like an 80s movie. Is this Netflix, did you say?
No, this is like an actual release from Paramount, I think, or Lionsgate.
Some of the dialogue was corny as hell.
Yeah, the dialogue wasn't great.
There's a reason that he seems familiar. He's you.
He is you. The CGI on Will Smith didn't look that great, especially after seeing like exceptionally de-aged Sam Jackson in Captain Marvel, and this just looks like a video game.
Kind of glossy face.
Yeah, maybe they haven't like really worked out the kinks yet, and they just like wanted to get some footage out, so maybe that's the issue. I would say that Will Smith's acting as the young version of himself feels not good. It feels like he's like, I don't know, he's like trying to sound innocent, but it's like, Will, just be Will.
Out of everybody they could have sent to do this, why would they send you? It's like, well, he probably pretty easy. It's you.
My guess is that the two Will Smiths team up together and take down Clive Owen.
Yeah, I think they even said we need to put a stop to this in the trailer. So,
sad. Will. Child's Play trailer number 2 came out. This is like an actual kind of lengthier one. Aubrey Plaza, Brian Tyree Henry, some little kid. Mark Hamill as the voice of Chucky.
Yeah.
What did you think of this trailer? Because I think after the first trailer, we're just kind of like, oh, all right. Like, it wasn't, like, it didn't wow us.
You know what? It looks like bloody fun. It looks like I would be more excited to go see this than La Llorona. And I like, be excited to just go see this and laugh at it. it just reminds me of the tweet argument someone got in that said, like, yeah, if Chucky came at me, I'd just kick him. Like, no, he has power. No, but he's a doll. I'd just kick him. And he just played that card for like this giant tweet thread. It was just pissing everybody off. It looked weird when he kind of smirked. Mm-hmm. The CG kind of looked like claymation almost. What did you think?
I think it looks like I'm gonna love it. It seems like a lot of fun. Yeah, and like it doesn't not like where it's like only straight campy fun, but it just feels like it like has the tone down pat. I don't know what the tone specifically is or how to describe it, but it just feels right. It just feels like fun. Like, I feel like I'm going to enjoy sitting there watching it.
You're going to laugh. There's going to be ridiculous kills. Yeah. There's going to be scenes where he charges at a woman and you're just like, oh my God, that looked ridiculous.
Yeah.
And there's also going to be scenes where he's like dropping F-bombs because that's what the original series was like.
Yeah. And I'm not like worried about them like hammering the theme home of like, technology is bad, don't like let your entire life be run by technology. Like,
you don't think I don't think that'll be the theme either.
Well, yeah, and even if it is, I don't think that like this is the kind of movie that's gonna like preach it and just hit you over the head constantly with it, which I think was part of the worry by some people when like the first synopsis came out and it was like Chucky is like, you know, from a technology company or whatever. So I'm cool with this. What did you think of Mark Hamill's voice for Chucky?
Sounded creepy. He's got the Joker voice down. He can do a creepy laughy cackle. So I like it. I'm all. We're back, and I have a sexier voice. I picked the wrong audio source again. So I was recording with a crappy webcam, but now I'm back to a nice microphone. Continue, Austin. What are we talking about next? When They See Us, I believe.
Okay, yes, we are talking about When They See Us, which is a miniseries coming out on Netflix later this year, directed by Ava DuVernay, who made Selma and A Wrinkle in Time and the documentary 13th. Stars John Leguizamo, Vera Farmiga, I believe, Felicity Huffman, maybe? Is that Felicity Huffman in there? But this is about the Central Park Five, who were pretty infamously convicted of rape and assaulting a woman in Central Park in the 80s, I think. And basically they were acquitted of the crimes or expunged or whatever about like 10 or 15 years after, I think, when basically a serial rapist came out and was like, yeah, no, it was actually me. So this is a pretty big story, I think, like one of the most infamous sort of like kind of like racial discrimination cases like in the history of the U.S. Famously, Donald Trump said that they should be sentenced to death.
Awesome.
Because, you know.
Our president. Awesome.
Yep. And that's a whole thing. And so this is clearly going to sort of hone in on that sort of racial discrimination and like how the system kind of played them and that whole thing. I think it looks outstanding.
Yeah, did you say how many episodes it'd be?
No, I did not.
I wonder if it's a 4-parter or a 12-parter. I'd be all in if it was kind of a shorter watch. It's definitely something that I don't know enough about as far as the story, so I will be tuning in for sure. Definitely a change in tone from Ava DuVernay's last outing. A little bit more serious. I think I even saw her in the trailer. She might have put herself in there. Maybe Sneaky. Not, but yeah, I'll Sneaky. Definitely be watching this.
Yeah, trying to find the.
I'm gonna guess four.
Yeah, it looks like four.
Perfect watch size.
Yeah, May 31st as well. So, end of the month. Oh, it's not May yet.
It's gonna be May.
Last teaser, last trailer is a teaser for Swamp Thing. I'm gonna be honest with you. I didn't watch this. It was at you added it after like I did all my watching.
I think it's supposed to be the launch of their DC streaming service. So this is like their flagship show.
Apparently, it's supposed to be on like CW.
No, I don't think so. It's supposed to be more darker and grittier. No, wait a minute. Didn't they already launch the DC streaming service with Batman?
Titans.
Fuck Batman. But I think it's supposed to be pretty dark. It's not much. It just basically reveals the Swamp Thing's face. I don't know a damn thing about the Swamp Thing. I thought he was one of the like monsters from the Dark Universe or whatever. Wasn't he?
No, that's the creature of the Black Lagoon.
Oh, yeah. I just put the two together. I don't know how they're going to make a show out of this. He's a superhero?
I mean, I guess. I don't know. How many like water-based superheroes do you need? Don't you really only need the one?
Swamp Thing hero, what does he do?
Oh, I remember. We talked about this. I had to like try and like figure out what the whole deal was. Another side note, there's a series on the DC streaming platform called Doom Patrol.
I've heard about that, yeah.
Brendan Fraser's in that.
I've heard it's pretty good.
As Robot Man.
Swamp Thing can inhabit and animate vegetable matter anywhere, including alien plants, even sentient ones, and construct it into a body for himself. As a result, bodily attacks mean little to him. He can regrow damaged or severed body parts and transport himself across the globe by leaving his current form, transferring his consciousness to a new form grown from whatever vegetable matter is present in the location he wishes to reach. Okay. Interesting.
I'm over it. I'm over Swamp Thing.
Me too.
Okay, that's it for trailers this week. let's talk what you watching. Looks like I have quite a bit more than you, so I'll start.
Dive in. Tell me about this La Llorona movie.
Oh yeah, the Curse of
the movie La Llorona. That you said we were going to review, and I was like, Austin, I'm not going to this. Yeah. I'm not going to go see this.
Which was a good decision because this movie is straight booty. It's bad.
Is it worse than The Nun?
Yeah, it's worse than The Nun.
No.
Yeah.
Part of the same universe, though, right?
Part of the same universe, Conjuring okay. universe. So they were, like, trying to capitalize on, like, actual real folktales and, like, other cultures, sort of folktales. So this is like, a famous Mexican.
Yeah, next up, the Chupacabra.
Sort of monster. Yeah, it's not good. The script is unbelievably bad.
Yeah, I've heard the direction's not bad, but the script is just absolute trash.
The direction, you can tell that, like, this dude might be, like, okay, he's supposed to direct Conjuring 3, James Wan stepping away, so this dude's coming in. And that seems okay as long as they get a decent script for it. There's, like, there's some cool camera movement. There's, like, a really cool sort of, like, one take that doesn't even end with, there's, like, no scares in it. It's just, like, to, like, kind of keep you on the edge of your seat. And then, like, the one take ends, and then, like, it goes, like, normal cuts, and then they hit you with, like, a stupid jump scare. And, like, the jump scares weren't really built up well. They do a couple good fake outs, but it's just, oh, man, it was just really dumb. And, like, it's littered with people being stupid, which is the worst.
Part. Yeah, it's one of the worst tropes in all of horror is, like, why are you doing this? Don't go out there. And it suspends all reality. It's just terrible.
Yeah, and this is, like you would be sitting there. You wouldn't be angry because, like, this is what you expect from, like, a paranormal movie where there's, like, no rules.
Yes.
So I think there's some movies where, like, the paranormal entity has – there's some rules governing it a little bit, which makes it, like, at least a little bit more believable, or, like, you can get in the realm of disbelief there. This, there's no rules that make any sense. Like, it's, like – it's just it either can, like, transport in and out, go fucking show up anywhere, or all of a sudden Tuco from Breaking Bad comes in as, like –
I was going to say, I know Tuco's in there.
As a badass exorcist priest kind of dude, and all of a sudden he's, like – he lays down, like, some, like, fucking – tree flakes in the doorway, and he's like, she can't get in now, and they show her, and she, like, gets stopped, and we're like, I'm like, she was just transporting in and out with no difficulty. It's like, just because you blocked the one front door, and then they hear the back door open, they run back to the back door, and
just,
like,
throw so leaves just, on the ground
so she could just go in the back door. Then it's just so stupid.
She's a ghost. She should be able to go through walls and windows, and
there's like this MacGuffin of, like, a necklace that, like, she gets, and they, like, try to act like it's going to be important, and then, like, nothing happens with it. She, like, sees it, and then she sees herself in a mirror, and then she freaks out, and I'm just...
Wait, LaRona sees herself in
yes,
a mirror?
Yes.
Ghosts
La
can't
Llorona.
See themselves in mirrors. This is stupid. LaRona.
Yeah, so...
Give it a rating. You going to F-bomb this thing?
Nah, D minus.
Oh, wow.
Not even like having my girl Linda Cardellini in there could do it.
Yeah,
she,
I like her.
You could tell she was just struggling. She was like, oh, I don't want to be here.
Why did she take this role?
I mean, she's not really in that much stuff. So she's just like, you know, cash a decent check.
Yeah.
Maybe like get some more eyes on you. And then
her movies are easy.
As a lead. And then, yeah.
Now we just got to hope that this doesn't make money, because I'm sure it costs like $4 million to make.
Bombed.
Okay.
Like good. The Easter weekend box office of like all the movies that came out did terrible.
Good.
Yeah. Let me run through two more here. Netflix, who is sort of like the king of rom-coms now. So they put out two in the past 2 weeks.
Watched and of course you watched them.
Of course I did. Rom-com is my second favorite genre.
Oh my God.
Rom-com. Someone Great stars Gina Rodriguez, Brittany Snow from like the Pitch Perfect movies, and then like Lakeith Stanfield.
Ooh, your boy.
In like Atlanta and Get Out and Sorry to Bother You.
Yep.
I was thinking about the twist at the end of Sorry to Bother You the other day, and I just started laughing. I randomly think about that
twist and start cracking up.
But this is about basically Gina Rodriguez and Lakeith Stanfield break up because she's moving to a new city, and it's like, her like trying to move on past that. It's pretty good. There's nothing like super special about it. It's very tropey and cliche-y, but the lead characters are all really good actors and they have great chemistry, and like the script feels very modern and fun, and it's not like littered with like over cursing or like over like gross out kind of stuff. It just feels like three people that are like good friends hanging out getting kind of crazy.
Ooh, nice recommendation then.
So pretty big fan. Then the other one was The Perfect Date. This feels like much like Someone Great could be something that's in theaters. This feels like definitely a Netflix thing. Still pretty good. Stars the Noah Centineo dude who's been in like four of these fucking Netflix rom-coms who is just look up his Twitter and Instagram. He is the worst person in the world, but he's a pretty good actor, pretty charismatic. This is about a dude who wants to go to NYU.
I hate his face.
Yeah, who wants to go to NYU, but he needs money, so he creates an app where he basically goes on dates with people that need dates and just like acts however they want him to act. It's pretty good. It's entertaining. But it's nothing special.
I don't like him.
Yeah, he sucks.
Oh, he's going to be in Charlie's Angels, the reboot.
Yes, he's also going to be in Masters of the Universe, which is,
cartoon? He-Man,
And then, yeah.
What do I know this idiot from? Anyway, keep going.
Then I watched season 2 of Sabrina, or The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Oh, yeah. This season was not very good compared to the first season. They kind of tease Sabrina to be, like, a cool, like, badass that doesn't give a shit about anything, and then she's just, like, typical, like, ooh, I'm nice for, like, half the season, and then they make her, like, a god.
Spoilers, bruh. I haven't started it.
No, you weren't gonna watch it.
But guess what I did start?
What did you start?
The Orville.
Ah, good job. Congrats, finally.
What was it, like 60 episodes later? I'm cashing in on our bet. I'm about four episodes in. It's not bad, truth be heard. It's pretty good. Kind of funny.
Really?
Yeah. There are some real misses with episodes, but I find myself laughing more than I expected. And some of the plots, like the overarching, you know, character development's pretty good. And I'm actually enjoying it. I'm very shocked that I'm enjoying it.
I do not like this.
I know. I lost a bet, and I'm enjoying the season that I'm watching.
What else have you been watching?
Have you heard of The Sinner?
I have. Jessica Biel.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. Jessica Biel executive produced at least the second season, which I'm starting now. But the first season's about a gal who does something crazy on a beach randomly out of nowhere, and you think you're like, what in the, like, this woman just commits this horrific act out of nowhere on the beach, and you're like, she just snapped. Okay, she snapped. She hates her husband, whatever. And it's really good character development and a just peeling back the onion of random little tiny stories. And it's kind of like the True Detective season 2 storyline that we never really got to see. It really reminds me of True Detective season 2, except way better. I actually would recommend it to you to watch.
Season 2?
Do you remember
with Colin
season
Farrell?
2? Yes. But like the actual thing that was going on. Like the what was it, like a
oh,
sex
God,
mansion?
I like, don't even remember season 2.
It was like
remember,
a sex
like, a
cult
sex
or
cult.
Something.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminded me of that, but not exactly. It's actually, I really enjoyed it. It's
yeah,
a slow burn for sure. Season 2 opens up even crazier. So
I've heard it's pretty good.
Bill Pullman is
kind of
hilarious and
it.
Ridiculous.
But it's Netflix? I didn't realize it was Netflix. Interesting.
It actually was USA, but it's on Netflix now.
Yes.
season 2 is not on Netflix, so you
okay.
have to hit the high seas for that
cool.
one, matey.
I'll have to check it out. Yeah. Anything else?
No, that's it, man.
My last thing is The Twilight Zone. So the Jordan Peele sort of hosted / executive produced reboot of the sort of very famous series came back.
We were really hyped for this.
Like 4 weeks ago. I didn't watch the first episode yet, which stars Kumail Nanjiani. But I watched episodes 2 through 4. I believe they release one like every Thursday. Mm. The second one stars Adam Scott. It's like a 30-minute episode, and it's sort of like a reworking of some versions of episodes that they've done in the previous seasons or series, whatever you want to call it. It's okay. There's
what?
Like some I like don't know how to describe it. He's like on a plane and he starts listening to this like Walkman thing, and it's basically describing everything that's happening to him and telling him that the plane is going to go down and sort of like.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
It's interesting, but it doesn't like really delve into like any deeper themes or anything. It's just kind of like this is something that happened.
So it's not like Black Mirror where it's like not telling you something. It's just
yes.
like, hey, wouldn't this be weird?
Yeah.
Okay.
The third episode was better. It's called Replay.
That is the episode title of Black Mirror, I believe, as well.
Really? This is about a black mom driving her son to college and basically a racist cop that keeps coming after them and, like, trying to harm her son and that kind of thing. And she has, like, a VHS recorder or a camcorder that if she hits rewind, it, like, can rewind back to certain points. So
in time?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So that one's a little bit better, but it gets kind of preachy and it feels like it doesn't – it's – I don't know. So again, just kind of okay. The fourth episode stars Steven Yeun and Greg Kinnear, as they're at, like this small town in Alaska. Greg Kinnear is like a sheriff and Steven Yeun, all of a sudden just sort of appears in their jail on like Christmas Eve or something. And this dude pardons someone every year and he kind of just like plays into like kind of sucks up to Greg Kinnear and then starts sort of saying certain things about people that like no one either knows or like was like rumored about and makes them kind of all fight. It gets bonkers at the end, but Steven Yeun is really good. And I would say that's probably the best episode just because it does have that theme that is sort of about like fake news and like misinformation spreading, which I thought was pretty good.
Why did you skip episode one?
I heard that it's long and boring.
Okay.
And I just didn't feel like doing it. And then, like, the other episodes intrigued me more.
Okay. Well, we said bonkers, and it sounds like kind of just a more of a what-if series than Black Mirror is. I think we were expecting pretty similar in quality to Black Mirror, so that's kind of disappointing. Yeah. But
could get better.
Maybe we'll see. Can find its footing.
Yeah. So that's it for what you're watching. Want to talk about Game of Thrones Episode 2?
You know I do. Let's go. Again, if you haven't seen Game of Thrones Episode 2, we're going to spoil it, so get the hell out of here. All we're going to talk about the rest of the episodes is Avengers predictions, so let's dive in.
Yeah. So first episode was basically everyone saying hello to each other.
Yep.
This episode was basically everyone saying goodbye to each other.
Bye-bye. A lot of touching moments. We'll go through them all, but yeah, you can definitely tell deaths are coming.
Yeah, so basically, like I said, it's just kind of a bunch of different character interactions, kind of people wrapping up their arcs, it felt like, getting ready, sort of preparing for when the Night King and the White Walkers show up at the gates, which is clearly going to be next episode. They show up at the very end of the episode. Let's just start from the beginning. So Jaime arrives.
Yep.
No one knows that Jaime pushed Bran out the window except for Bran.
I can't believe he never told anyone.
I know.
And I guess they didn't exactly say that he never told anyone, but I didn't know that he didn't tell anyone.
Well,
I assumed he did.
Because I think if anyone knew, they would have killed him right away. They would have been like, no, you're done. But Bran stands up for him. Brienne stands up for him. And then Sansa, because of Brienne, is like, okay. And then Dany's like, well, Jon, what do you think? And Jon's like, yeah.
And Jon's really moody because he's realized he's banging his aunt.
Yeah. And then Dany kind of like has her hand forced and is like, fine.
Yeah.
You can stay. Which is funny because it was like very tense and it was like not a lot of people like him. And then all of a sudden people are like, oh, yeah, you're cool. All right.
Yeah. The guy's got one hand. What's he going to do from here on out? And honestly, I think one of those assholes from Winterfell would end up slitting his throat. I'm surprised they're letting him he's just like walking around casually.
Yeah, I know.
But at the end of the day, maybe they are. It's settling in. Like, we need every hand we can get, even if it's just one hand.
Yeah, it also feels like the majority of people hate Dany more than they hate anything else.
Yeah, that's true.
So then I get, you know, from there, do we want to just go over every single, like, little pairing that happened?
Yeah, we can touch on them.
Yeah, so we get goodbyes between
Missandei
and Grey Worm, who, let's be honest.
I don't care.
Toast.
That was cute.
No one really cares. They weren't, like,
did they... Was this in a dream, or did they show them kind of trying to have sex with each other, even though he doesn't have a penis?
They showed. Oh yeah, they
did
showed
they
him
show
last
him
last
with
season,
like a
last season. They didn't. They didn't
Ken
show
doll looking
like,
type.
No,
thing.
They didn't show any Ken doll stuff. She got naked, and then he got naked. I think you saw his butt.
Yeah, so he still
and
got
then
the
he,
butt.
He like climbed on top, so you know he.
They just kind of rub it together, maybe.
Yeah,
I guess.
Okay. I guess.
I don't care. Fine. It was cute.
Yeah, and so,
also,
like,
Grey Worm, like,
dead.
He's supposed to, like, sure. Just be a soldier forever, but he's like, I will leave Dany after war is over and fight for you because fuck it. Like, why, okay.
Well, I think what's kind of interesting about that is that, like, even, like, these two people who have supposedly, like, supposed to be most loyal to Dany are kind of like, ah, fuck it. No.
Yeah, we're out.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's losing a lot of support, which actually leads into the next one, Sansa and Dany. So Dany tries to go kind of like be nice, play nice with Sansa. They make fun of Jon.
Yeah, being that was short, hilarious.
Which is a fucking low blow.
Yeah.
And then Dany's like, would I be able to, like, you're like, Sansa brings up, like, what's going to happen in the North? Like, the North, like, wants to be, like, its own thing. And then Dany, like, face drops, like, back in pissed mode.
The hand comes off.
Yeah. And then they get interrupted, and Theon shows up, and Theon's like, we're here, like, I'm here to, like, defend Winterfell. And he's basically just talking to Sansa. He's like, I'm here, like, because of the Starks, not for fucking Targaryen girl. So this is another person who she thought, she was like, oh, finally, like, the Ironborn are here for me. And then she's like, oh, they're not, it's just Theon.
Yep.
So things not going
another
great,
man without a penis. Yep. Ready to fight, though. That was okay. Although, like, I'm over Theon. I don't, like, yes, mm-hmm. fine, he's redeemed. He saved Sansa, but I don't care. He did so much bad, yep. and he's so ugly. Like, just get on with it.
Yeah, I think that Sansa and Theon, for me, they both have been through, like, I think they're good characters.
Yeah.
They're just not fun to watch because a lot of the stuff that they've been through has been depressing as shit.
Yeah.
And, like, tough to watch. And now, like, they just don't offer much. It's just kind of like they're there. Like, Theon's trying to redeem himself because he was a dick for a bit.
He's redeemed.
And then Sansa went through tough stuff and is, like, trying to be, like, kind of a ruler, but I don't feel like she's, like, she's just kind of, like, moody about stuff, it feels like. Which is sort of the same as Jon and Dany, but Jon and Dany do a little bit more. Like, they actually fight and stuff, so.
Theon going to
die. A little bit more from them. Yeah. Yeah, but Theon's going to defend Bran at the Weirwood Tree, so.
Cool.
Strategy meeting. So they get, this is probably, like, the biggest gathering of, like, Thrones actors we've had.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So basically kind of discussing, like, what's going to happen. Bran finally is just kind of like explains, he's like, well, the Night King is after me, so yeah,
drops that knowledge.
Let's use me as bait. And they're like, well, how does he know where you are? And he's like, because he marked me. And he, like, shows off his little burn skin or whatever,
showing off his fresh tat.
And he reveals sort of the reasoning for the Night King attacking, which I don't know if this is like the full, this can't be the full story, we still got to learn, like, a little bit more. It can't just be because he is, like, this malevolent thing that is just, like, the personification of evil. There's got to be a little bit more to what he wants. And they said, Bran says that he wants to erase the memory of Earth or the memory of humans or whatever. And that's
what does
Bran
he do
is.
After that?
But,
like,
yeah,
what is his
and
goal?
So there's got to be something more to it.
You would hope so. I know these writers have a hell of a task kind of closing this out. So it'll be mm-hmm. interesting to see if they leave us satisfied on, like, the higher powers and that, like, the higher themes of the show. Like, why all this is happening. But yeah, mm-hmm. not satisfied just yet.
Which I don't think, I don't know. We'll get into predictions for episode 3, but I guess we'll see what happens. Then we have Jaime and Brienne. Actually, we have Jaime and Tyrion.
Oh yeah.
So Jaime and Tyrion kind of going back and forth. Finally, like back on their things, talking about how they'd like to die. which I get. That was around. Was that around the fire, top of the castle? I don't know.
It was earlier around the fire. Yeah.
But Tyrion basically has a switch. Flip midway through after the strategy meeting. So basically leading up to it, he kind of goes like, we're all gonna die. He's mm-hmm. not very optimistic. Then once everyone leaves the strategy meeting, he looks at Bran, he's like, tell me, like, your story, tell me what happened.
He's the only one to ask, like,
and yeah,
finally.
Yeah. And then it cuts to the next scene and we get a couple more scenes, and then we see Tyrion around the fire kind of with a bunch of people. And, you know, this could be because he's drunk, but it could be maybe he learned something from Bran.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, I think we're going to live. And so, do you think that Bran told him something a little bit more, that Tyrion has a little more faith? Do you think he was just tipsy and just, like, being optimistic, having fun?
Listen, the last episode and this episode harped and hammered and beat it into our heads that Tyrion's the smartest guy in the room. So he's got a plan now, and he's going to execute that. Hopefully in front of the audience, but likely behind the scenes. It'll all come mm-hmm. out on the screen in the next couple yep. episodes.
Yeah.
Pretty clear as day. Like, yeah, on the yeah. nose.
Speaking of clear as day, they also kept talking about the crypts and how the crypts are the safest place, which I believe they mentioned or said that phrasing 5 or 6 different times throughout
kind of annoying.
The episode.
Yeah.
Which leads me to believe the crypts aren't the safest place.
No. One person is dead, and then they're a White Walker, and then nobody can get out, and... Yeah.
What do you think that the Starks, the dead Starks down there, will be able to rise out of their crypts or something? Do you think there's there's a theory that maybe the Starks have some weird dead Starks have magic in them, which makes them defend Winterfell? There's a few theories going around, but I feel like the Starks won't rise. I feel like the dead people down there won't rise up because they're in crypts. Yeah, that's kind of heavy for dusted skeletons to lift. But there is other pathways. That's how Bran and Rickon escaped originally when Theon came after them at Winterfell. So we know that there's other sort of pathways. Maybe the Night King knows about that?
Yeah, that's definitely a theory. It's just too enclosed. I feel like something's going to happen where somehow one White Walker is going to get in there and then the rest of them turn and it just starts to be chaos and they have to get the hell out of there.
Yeah. Jamie's asked to serve under her, which I think is like a big moment for Brienne.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like this
one of many for her this episode.
This famous knight asking to not lead her, but be underneath, serve for her.
Yeah.
So that was a nice little cute little thing. Then we also have let's talk about the knighting of Brienne. So they're all sitting around the fire.
Great scene, by the way. One of the coolest scenes.
I mean, Tyrion, Jaime, Davos, Pod, Brienne,
Tormund.
So this is a great scene. It's very funny. Tormund gives his little why he's named Giantsbane, trying to flex on everyone, and everyone's just like, "What the fuck is
everyone's
wrong?"
Everyone's like, "Weird flex," but okay. Yeah. All right. I wanted to hear so much more about that story, by the way.
Yeah. Then we get basically Tormund asks why Brienne isn't a sir. Or isn't a knight, because they call her lady. She's like, well, women can't be. He's like, fuck that. And then Jamie's like, well, I can knight you. And then they knight her. And it's like a very emotional moment that's huge for Brienne, sort of like a thing that she's been building.
Big send-off for her.
Yep.
Big send-off.
Pod
does some singing. That was beautiful.
Pod sings, which, very reminiscent, this has been said a million times if you read Thrones Threads or anything, but I think everyone probably thought about this. Reminiscent of Pippin singing Lord of the Rings.
Exactly.
And Return of the King.
Setting up to be very similar to Two Towers and Return of the King. You got Helm's Deep, which is Winterfell. You got a giant battle. People are coming against a wall. Very similar.
So that was an outstanding scene.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I
could have watched that forever. You know that's literally the calm before the storm. Everybody just hanging out, talking about, we're going to die. Just very low key, really great moments. Now it's over.
And I love that there's several different times where people are like, well, let's go get some sleep, and Tyrion's kind of like, nah, let's not do it, or Jaime's like, nah, let's not do it.
It's the last time he gets
they know that
drunk.
This is the last thing that they're ever gonna have probably, which I think is nice reflecting on the viewing population. What pisses me off is people that complain about the first two episodes so far. And they're like, there's not any action. There's nothing happening. The plot isn't moving, which is true. The plot isn't necessarily moving a ton. It's just setting pieces up, and it's giving us. It's making show was off air for a year and a half, 2 years. It's making us invest in these characters again, who we were already invested in, but invest in them even more, care about them even more, to set us up to be devastated either next episode.
Yeah, this is the last time you're gonna see Jaime talk to Tyrion. This is the last time you're gonna see Brienne talk to Tormund. Enjoy these moments. Would it be really effective for the show to come back and within the first 5 minutes, Brienne dies? Or would it be a little bit more effective for her to build up, have this knighting scene, and then her die two episodes later? Calm down, people. Enjoy the dialogue. The action is coming.
And when the series ends, or when the season ends here and the series is over, this is going to be the episode that people come back and watch. They're going to be thankful for this episode because they're going to be like, finally.
A show.
This episode was great.
A show.
Other sort of reunions. Arya and the Hound.
That was kind of funny.
Finally, back again, sort of just bickering back and forth. And then Beric shows up, and Hound has a pretty good line there where he's like, if you're going to preach to us again, the Lord of Light is going to be wondering why he brought you back 17 times if for me to just throw you over the castle wall.
Miss the Hound.
And then Arya, on just a dick hunt, goes down to Gendry, which loved it. They finally, and then Arya just kind of just dominates Gendry there.
Yeah.
The question is about his sexual past.
She wants to make sure he's clean. Quick STD test.
Yep. Smart. which is that's actually comes full circle for Ned Stark and Robert Baratheon, because they wanted their houses to be joined. Originally it was Sansa and Joffrey. This is a true joining of the houses, so good for them.
She took charge there. And did you see all the backlash on people? Like, I don't need to see a child nude. I'm like, dude, she's like 22 in real life. And yeah. This is fine. This is Maisie doing her thing. That she didn't show more than she wanted to show. Relax.
Yeah, there's probably something deeper about it. It's like people like, ooh, we watched her grow up, which, okay, but like, she's not a child anymore, so like, that's on you for thinking it's weird or illegal to watch or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Also, there's probably something about like the desexualization of women or whatever, you know, not being, you know, there's probably a think piece on it now.
Correct.
But I thought it was fine. And I think the actress probably wanted to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Maisie Williams probably wanted to do it, so like people don't view her as a child.
Yeah, she had a couple episodes to get out of the child role. I mean, she does look young for being 22.
Yeah, she's just small. And yeah. And then John finally tells Danny, sort of just very bluntly, straightforward, last second in the crypts,
yeah, I like
what's
it.
Going on. Which I think is very John. People were like, well, this is the dumbest time. I was like, that's what John does.
Yeah, John doesn't sugarcoat it. Smartly. He's like, let's be rational about this and let's get this on the table so we can move forward. Even though he did hold it for a bit, but he was processing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I liked most about it is that I think John is more worried about the fact that he's fucking his aunt.
Yeah. And he doesn't Danny's care about the king about, thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And Danny's worried about the fact that he has a better claim than she does.
Yeah.
And I think he probably is disappointed because she gets angry right away. She's like, well,
she immediately goes to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
To the king thing.
Which is fair, because first off, like, it is his best friend and his weirdo brother telling him something that seems like wish fulfillment, but also it's something that's probably pretty easily verifiable at this point, too, now that they know, so it's just kind of setting Danny up to be, like, Mad Queen kind of thing. Mm-hmm. They're kind of just hammering it home, but I don't think she's going to end up like that.
It was frustrating to me as an audience member for them to just get interrupted and the battle to start, but... That's going to provide a lot of tension with those two on the battlefield with that really without that discussion finished at all.
Yeah. Then the dead arrive. They hear like the bells or the horns going off. The dead arrive. Biggest thing with this is we see one, a bunch of White Walkers line up. Like it's not just like the 5 or 10 or whoever there were before. Like there's a bunch. So he's been going to town. Night King's been going to town creating those. But important note is that we don't see the Night King in that little lineup. And we don't see Viserion, the basically dead dragon, undead dragon. Do you think that they're there? Do you think that
he's got a sneaky plan? I mean, he's not just gonna blow his load, show his cards, bring the dragon out front and center.
They also like our main cast characters still has not talked about the fact that this dragon
I don't think they know.
Tormund and Beric were at the wall but they were at the wall when it got knocked down.
Why have they not discussed this? What the heck?
Yeah. Come on.
It's like the biggest piece of knowledge that needs to be chatted about.
Tormund's too focused on trying to get Brienne in bed.
Oh, I wanted to touch on this, which we're talking about like things that shouldn't be a big deal. There are some people that hate that relationship and think that he is forcing himself and these are all unwanted advances and that we shouldn't be cheering on this relationship to work because she's clearly not interested and he's being a freaking rapey person about it.
He's not doing anything bad, though. I think he's just like trying to like impress her with stupid things and then just giving her like weird looks.
Yeah, but no means no, which I agree. No means no. But she hasn't said no. She's playing hard to get, which is fine. He just needs to do a little work. He's trying to woo her. Come on. It's a fun relationship. Stop trying to ruin
also,
things for me.
She's like, her and Jamie are also struggling with their feelings for each other. They're trying to figure that out. It's a whole thing. There's a little love triangle.
Dynamic, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the episode. Episode 3, it's 80 minutes long. It's going to be this is directed by Miguel Sapochnik, who directed Battle of the Bastards and some other episodes.
Time.
So this is the battle scene, basically, or battle scenes that took a full month to shoot. So it's going to be a lot. It's going to be great. It's going to be intense. I legitimately have no idea what to expect. I don't know what's going to... There's so many different ways it can go. There's so many different people that could potentially die. There's so many people whose arcs felt wrapped up, but I could see them kind of like bait and switch us. I just don't know what's going
to
happen.
I'm traveling to see family this weekend, so I'm seeing Endgame at 4 p.m. on Sunday, and then I'm immediately coming home and watching Game of Thrones at 8 p.m. on Sunday.
Dude, that's like no buffer.
No buffer.
For you to like... That's like no buffer for you to hand. Are you going to be okay?
I might take Monday off. Like,
yeah, are you going to be okay?
Like, I don't even know, dude. I'm going to lose my mind.
Jesus Christ.
I will have minutes to process Endgame before I have to watch all of the rest of my favorite characters die.
I don't know how you're gonna do it.
I can't even throw my predictions down. I have no idea. We can't predict.
But we'll be next week's episode is gonna be a doozy.
I think next week's oh my god, I can't even. How are we gonna break this down? Like
I don't know. It might just be us just kind of like sobbing for.
Yeah, like I'm gonna start smoking. Just. we should just skip movie and TV news. Like we're gonna need the time to just talk about these two episodes.
We're going to. Okay, that's all we can talk about for episode 2 of Game of Thrones. Episode 3, can't wait for it. Avengers predictions. Avengers Endgame comes out, I guess technically Thursday night. The premiere was Monday night in LA. Social media reactions were pretty good, as I think were expected. The social media reactions can be overblown a little bit. Let's talk just predictions. This can be pretty quick. I think a lot of people have sort of the same ideas about what's going to happen. Rotten Tomatoes and box office. Let's guess that first off. Rotten Tomato score. What do you think it's going to be?
Infinity War got an 85. This is the end. Early social media is saying it's wrapped up nicely. I'll give it a 91.
Fuck.
Is that what you're going to pick?
Yeah, I was going to go 91 as well. All right, I'm going to go higher. I'm going to go 90. No, I'm going to go 89.
89? Okay.
89.
All right, so I'm writing this down.
No, I take it back. I'm going 93.
Andy, 91. Austin, 93. Ooh, okay. That's locked in. We're moving on. Box office. I don't know enough about it, so you can make your guess.
I'm going 290 million domestic.
Okay.
Do we want to do international?
Give me global.
Well, worldwide. Oh, global box office?
Unless you can't spout it
off. I'm going 910 million global, which is a lot.
Okay. It's locked in. Who gonna die?
Okay, so I originally thought there was gonna be a lot of people dying, or not a lot of people, but a fair amount. Hey.
Oh, quiet. We got a pupper.
Quiet. I think.
Carbon. We're about to throw you on this list.
Carbon, we're in the end game here. Just stop.
We're in the end game, Carbon.
Stop it. Quiet. Okay, I think Cap's done. I think he sacrifices himself.
Yep.
Maybe somehow, and then I think maybe the Hulk.
Yeah, I've peeled back my expectations on death count as well. Like, I don't think this is going to be Game of Thrones style levels, a level of deaths. They're going to give us a happy ending, but somebody big's going to go, and I too think Cap. They can't take Pepper Potts's likely baby away from Iron Man, so I think like people like Cap, Nebula, War Machine, they're gone. And we're going to pause. We're back. We're going to cut that. But yeah, I think people like Nebula, War Machine, lower tier characters, we'll get a couple of those, but the big one's going to be Cap.
You think they're really gonna do War Machine and Don Cheadle like that? They already paralyzed him.
They can't kill Tony. They're gonna kill War Machine. Maybe lame-o Falcon.
Yeah, but nah, he's got his Disney Plus series.
Oh yeah, and they can't kill Cap and Falcon. That's why I'm saying War Machine's gonna get it.
Alright, fair enough, fair enough. And then I guess just what'll happen? What's our expectation for the movie overall?
I think what we predicted almost from day one, people come back, you know, it's fixed, it's clear they're going to use the stones against Thanos, and you know, I think it'll almost be a kind of revisiting and best hits of all the cool things that have happened in the Avengers series and all those solo movies over the years. We're going to get to revisit a lot of sets. It's going to be very nostalgic, and they're going to save the day.
Yeah, I think I'm on board with that. Obviously, I think all the dusted people are going to come back.
Yep.
I just don't really know what to expect. Like, obviously, they're going to use the quantum realm, maybe time travel a bit, some sort of thing. But I just don't really have any good guesses as to what exactly will happen. I do like that Thanos is just going to be pissed off. And, like, instead of being kind of like, I'm doing this for a reason. Now I'm just mad, and I would like to kill you guys.
Yeah, he's like, I've done it. It's over. If you're going to come at me, now we gonna brawl. Like, he was killing people because he believed he had to get the stones. He wasn't doing it just to do it, but this time he's like, quit it, guys. Now let's fight.
Yeah. God, I'm so excited. I'm seeing it Friday afternoon. Then I'm going Saturday morning again right away.
I'm so jealous. I have to wait till Sunday. Family.
Maybe I'll go see it again Sunday.
Just to spite
me. Just kidding. That's way too. Yeah, just to spite you.
I was
see it earlier than you can see it on Sunday.
I was thinking of doing like a midnight on Friday or Saturday, or like even like a 2 a.m. I'm like, I'm just too old for this shit.
Yeah, they do. There are screenings of it at like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you go at that time, and then you get out at like 7:30, 8 in the morning.
The light,
like,
the sun's coming up.
Yeah. Oh God. All right. Yeah. So pump for that. Whoever's closest Rotten Tomatoes score gets to pick a movie for the other person to watch,
yep,
or has to
and
watch.
And you're picking The Love Guru, and I'm picking
The Love Guru.
Something.
Hope you can match it. All right. Thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe and review. Don't go see La Llorona.
Watch The Sinner.
Yeah, watch The Sinner. I think I might start tonight, nice, then. Check out glitchup.com. Follow our social media. All that fun stuff. We will see you next week with Game of Thrones Episode 3 and Avengers Endgame reviews. Oh, man. I hope you guys are ready.
I'm not.
Peace.